This is CliffCentral.com.
A little live for you, I Alone. Still a great song. Must be 20 years on and it's still good.
That reminds me of being awkward as youth, going to house parties and not speaking to girls. That's what live is for me.
It's 1994. It's as old as South Africa. That song. That's impressive. All right. Love that band even
now. Fan myself.
Hmm?
Not a big live fan myself. I think that they paved the way for the Nickel Creed epidemic of the early 2000s.
Fair point.
I didn't realize that that we had asked. Did anyone here remember issuing a "Does Gord approve of this song?"
I kind of took the whole invitation to join the discussion as maybe my opportunity to give some opinions.
Yeah, as you being allowed to open your mouth every now and again.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
I was supposed to monitor you guys. I must write you an email with feedback after the show.
I expect a gilt-edged invitation saying, "I would like to say that I really enjoy giving commentary on the songs." Look, I don't care. It's not a big deal.
I think it's time to let the listeners know that I'm persona non grata for a reason.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm being treated spare. It was just explained to me during the song why I'm being treated so sparely.
What are you talking about? I've been treating you nice from day one.
I basically said the only person in my WhatsApp that I sent, apparently everybody knows why I wasn't here on Wednesday, and in my WhatsApp that
why,
I sent
God,
to...
Where were you on Wednesday?
I was dealing with my bowel malfunction.
Okay, sorry, I forgot about that.
Yes, apparently that was made public. And also I then sent a message apologizing and saying that the only person I like is Sia and I'm going to miss him. And that got back to you guys.
So my buddy and I heard him, we just ignored it, but Ben took it very personally because he thought you guys got along.
Yeah, but I moved on, and then he's here today, and here I am being myself.
Resentful.
Says the guy who came in and hijacked my headphones straight away.
I didn't realize they were yours. I thought we shared.
It's okay, gosh.
Yesterday was raining. I went to the shops. There's this, you know, these shopping malls, first of all, they've got some kind of a deal where you can pay R5 to park for 5 hours. Now, I don't go to shopping malls for 5 hours. That's not a deal for me. And I'm parking...
Nobody does, right, though.
And I'm parking outside...
Unless you're curious.
Listen to this. Outside in the rain. No covered parking. No security guards. I'm paying to come and spend my money at your stupid shopping mall. So they tell me they've got advertising everywhere. R5 for 5 hours. They think this is a bargain. They think this is good. Then I go into the shopping mall and I buy the stuff I need. We go to the bathroom. I need to pee in this shopping mall. The woman at the door says, "No, no, you can't go in here."
Why not?
Why? She goes, I'm cleaning here, or the water's off, or something. I don't even know. I just turned around and walked away. I mean, it's just it seems to me that these shopping malls are probably some of the worst run places in the world. They are run by horrible people. They charge you to park there. They should not be charging you to park there. And they charge their tenants a fortune in rent. They make a lot of money out of their tenants. If you find out what the little tiny kiosk in your shopping mall, your local shopping mall, costs to that person who rents it to sell their wares, you'll be shocked. And then they also charge you to park there. And then they make you, as you go in, if you look at your ticket, it says, "We indemnify ourselves for any damage, any theft, anything that should happen to you. So we're going to charge you to park here, but we're not even going to be legally responsible for anything that happens on our premises."
I like the way that you bravely confront the real issues on these shows, Gareth. I just think that there are certain situations where a human has to poo. And if you say to them, you shall not pass busy cleaning or no running water, that person will barge through you or poo at your feet.
Yeah, but caught at the same time. At the same time, she probably thinks, well, he's paid R5 for 5 hours. He can come back when I'm doing damn ready.
He's got plenty of time.
You know, if you went in to watch a movie and then still have lunch afterwards, it still wouldn't be as long as 5 hours. Yeah. Who spends 5 hours in a shopping mall? Who?
Cape Townians that don't like packaging have got a lot of shopping to do. They can like
5 hours.
Yeah, you got to hunt for that perfect Armani.
It's insane. They think it's such a great deal, and they charge. I had to walk through rain because I parked, and then on the way out there's this queue because they've closed two of the entrances because they're busy doing, in inverted commas, construction. some places you just realize after you've been there once, you never need to go there again.
We need to give you blonde highlights, grow you a bob, give you blonde highlights, and change your name to Sharon.
Because I'm and complaining about shopping
you
malls.
You could go to Woolworths.
No, guys, this is important because this is the kind of shit that it piles up in your day and it turns a really good day into a bad one. I had a very good day yesterday. This kind of stuff, it's small. But if you have 10 of these small things happen, you know it drives you over the edge.
Yeah, no, bullshit,
you know,
aside, it's my worst. I hate shopping. I'm a hunter, not a gatherer.
You know how you get the trolley sometimes with the shit wheel?
Yeah, oh, dude.
You know that kind of thing?
And you think to themselves, like, you think to yourself, why have they not euthanized this trolley? Like, either fix it or throw it away.
Yes, I had that this week as well.
My brother is an awesome dude. He had
left wheels.
He constructively breaks things. I remember we were on holiday once, and there was a restaurant at the place, and the door handle was, like, loose, and you had to kind of line it upright to open it. And, like, hundreds of people a day struggle with this door. So he just took it and pulled it off. Not the door handle, not the door.
Yes.
Pulled it off, put it down right next to where it was, and said, cool, I've done them a favor. Then I have to repair this.
Yeah.
Because the door can't
that's
be opened
very,
otherwise.
That's good. So
you should rip the wheel off the trolley and set it on fire in the middle of the shop.
If you get yourself into a situation, and then I go to my gym and they're busy building there as well. They're redoing the locker rooms or something. So there's this hammering and carrying, which is good. It's a sign of progress. They're upgrading. That's a great thing. I'm very happy about that.
It's not Sunning Hill, is it?
No.
Okay, they're doing that there as well.
So they're apparently doing it all over the place. I heard a scary thing, though, and we need to get someone in here who knows what they're talking about. I heard that a lot of these gyms are not making money.
How are they not making money when they lock you into 24-month contracts?
Well, they're not locking enough people in.
Yeah,
but they're building new ones all the time. I mean, I was because as you guys know, I was away from Joburg for like 3.5 years. Come back. This week I did my first proper lap through Sandton Central, where I used to work. I mean, I've driven past it, but I haven't properly gone through it. And there's a new Virgin Active by the Holiday Inn Garden Court.
Yeah.
So they've built one there. That wasn't there when I left 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
But the thing about Sandton, because we're talking
about
constant construction.
And there's one in Alice Lane, which is a very smart one.
Yeah.
Then,
I've got to stop you there. Those are happening because people realize they've now got to commit their lives to Sandton because the traffic is so bad.
That's another thing. It's like, when is Sandton ever going to be finished? I used to work there. I worked there from 2003 until 2009, right in smack on Fredman Drive in the middle of the shit. And like, I was in the shit, man. I was in the middle of the shit. And like, everybody
was enough
like,
with the shit.
They're upgrading Sandton. It's amazing. It'll be world-class city. It's been 15 years, and it's always a construction site. At some point, they got to go, look,
we're done.
We renovated it. Sure. Like,
when are they going to finish Sandton? It doesn't work that way. I mean, have you ever been to New York City? There's always construction.
I've been to New York City, and it is far, far cooler and more functional than Sandton.
But have they got a Virgin Active? Take that, Butch.
Got active.
But Ben's right. It's because of traffic.
Yeah, so if you look at other gyms that are now on the outskirts of these things, they're not doing so well. But these malls are also doing so badly because, I mean, Stutterfords are leaving space left, right, and center.
Yeah, well.
But they're doing so badly. I reckon these gyms are going there on such a low rental, such a low deal.
You think?
But these malls need people like that because they think, well, these guys are going to bring people who then want to buy smoothies and fucking suitcases or whatever.
But don't we hold some or other record or some or other statistic when it comes to the number of shopping malls that we have in this country compared to either the Southern Hemisphere or the rest of the world?
Yes, shopping malls are miserable things.
Shopping malls in this country, I mean,
I hate it.
We have so many.
I hate it.
So basically, you all understand my pain from yesterday and you all agree.
My thing is, like, the internet shopping really helps with this, but in some cases, especially when you're unusually shaped, you have to try shit on. But, like, for me, I would much rather pay more for something and have it handed to me without, like, you must earn this by going into that building full of cretins who've gotten dressed up like it's their wedding so that they can shop and then find a thing that might not be there. I'm like,
right. It's ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I want you to just give me my shit and I'll pay extra for it.
Right.
But I used to enjoy it when I was a teenager. So at what point do you like, do malls have some weird appeal when you're like a tween?
Because when you're a tween, that's one of the very few chances you get to escape your parents and the home.
Yeah, see, but Oaks
and
were
then you
cool
hang out with your friends
mall.
Or you know that that is where you're meeting your girlfriend.
What's that? American movies.
Like, it's still exciting.
That's where you're looking at women and having absolutely no chance of having sex. I vomited in Sandton City once because we were having the tween jaw outside Sandton City at the library where you sneak a bit of booze and I smoke beedies.
What are those?
But like banana leaf things. It's just some horrible shit that no one should smoke. It's basically like rolling up sandpaper and smoking it. I had a little bit of that because I was super cool at I was 15. And then it was time to mission to the food court and meet some homies and have a steers. And I was walking right down the main causeway and I just chundered.
Oh!
It hit me in a second. I just chundered on the floor. And I like just I just wiped my mouth and carried on walking.
Oh!
That's how rock and roll I was back in the day.
Vile animal.
My stories are not good today. I don't know.
You're putting everyone off. All right, listen. Let's get into a little bit of news. Mabs, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so this has proven to be quite the controversial story. A non-governmental organization called Women and Men Against Child Abuse are very upset after two Pretoria High Court judges reduced the life sentence of a man who forced his six-year-old stepdaughter to reenact porn movie scenes with him. The judges reduced the man's sentence from life in prison to 20 years because they say he only forced the girl to have oral sex with him, and that did not constitute a severe rape case.
Wow, what a thing to have to decide.
Jeez, like.
What a thing indeed. So Miranda Jordan Friedman, she is the head of the organization who is appalled by the judgment. Judge H.R. Faree said, "While it is accepted that oral rape is disgusting and traumatic for the child, it didn't result in any physical injuries or pain."
So who decided this?
The judge.
Just some guy who's hadn't had a penis thrown in his mouth, I guess.
Well, just some guy who hasn't had a penis thrown in his mouth as a six-year-old.
Yeah.
A giant adult penis in your mouth as a six-year-old.
Yeah, let's not even create vivid visuals of that. Just, are these, and it's horrific, are these... Is this organization called Women and Men Against? Why don't they just
against
go with people?
It started off. There's a reason for that. It started off as Women Against Child Abuse. And then a whole lot of men decided they wanted to join. And then the men were like, "Yeah, well, you're not including us because you don't say men in your name." So they had to include the men.
So this is an organization that actively bars transgenders and binaries from joining.
You see? But you're focused on the wrong thing. They're against child abuse.
Yes, no, I'm with them on that.
I'm with them. So
I am too with them.
This Miranda Friedman, she does terrific work. I am horrified that no one has ever sat down with some of these judges and spoken to them about how psychological injury is sometimes far worse than physical injury, because your body can repair, your mind takes a lot of work to get anywhere near where it might have been before. And if you have something horrible like this happen to you at 6 years old because of some screwed up adult man, that guy should... It makes me sick on some kind of visceral level.
I think we on an evolutionary level, are programmed to be horrified by that kind of thing because it just goes directly against what should be your instinct to like look after and preserve
children.
Yeah. You are supposed to instinctively, voluntarily chuck yourself off the lifeboat to make room for more children, even if you've never seen them before. That's what is meant to happen as like a natural instinctive reaction. So that's why you get that feeling in yours, that eerie, sick feeling, because it's the opposite of what you are supposed to do in terms of your programming.
I don't think there should ever be any kind of leniency as far as the law is concerned when it has been proven that you are a rapist, and most especially when it involves a child.
Yeah, straight
you deserve up. Absolute no leniency of any kind in my mind.
No,
you
I
deserve
agree.
Nothing. So that is part of what Jordan Friedman argued, saying that it is all the same as far as the long-term consequences, which is what you were talking about, Gareth, the betrayal and the shame. And she said, so obviously we have two very uneducated judges. That is as far as Miranda Friedman is concerned. But yeah, you know, the story has gotten a lot of people talking. Obviously, a lot of people are upset. So
the argument is basically it could have been worse.
The argument is that there was no physical injury or pain to the child because it was just oral sex.
Now, there comes a point where you just go maximum. It's like you don't say, okay, well, in history, someone was more horrific than you by also using worse things. I don't want to say. But like there's a point you cross a line and it's like you know, whether you've done what this person has done or done it with more pain involved, you're still at maximum. It's like,
Someone has to just sit down with these judges, and it needs to be the Chief Justice, obviously, because he's in charge of the judiciary, and say to them, listen, guys, we've got a problem in this country when it comes to sexual violence and with kids especially. Just, you know, apply a lot more ugliness when you sentence these people. There isn't a soft sentence available for these guys. That's all we need. Yeah. It's sorted.
Yeah.
Mavs.
All right. Eskom will be trying to recover R1 billion from McKinsey and then also R564 million from Trillion. The money was allegedly unlawfully paid out to the companies in 2016 and 2017. Oh, this whole story is just such a mess. Now, McKinsey has been implicated in potentially corrupt dealings between Eskom and Trillion. However, the US-based company are continuing to deny being involved in corruption, and they have launched an internal probe into its dealings with Trillion. The Public Enterprises Minister, Lynn Brown, said that MPs have a right to question Eskom about the Trillion and McKinsey deals. Eskom was warned 2 years ago already that its contract with McKinsey was in contravention of a National Treasury instruction to cut costs. Now, Eskom said that the findings from their investigations into the circumstances surrounding payments point to certain decisions being made by the parastatal, as well as the payments being illegal. And therefore, that is why they are now trying to regain these monies that were paid out to Trillion and to McKinsey.
Well, let's hope they get the money back, because any money Eskom gets back is probably money that was, you know, given over in some corrupt fashion. So, yeah, go for it. And also, if we're going to do this, we also need to get the money back from
SAA.
Yeah, all these different people who've been parceled out big piles of cash by government departments, by parastatals, all of them should recover all of these monies from whomever has spent them and wherever they have spent them. These people didn't just pay, you know, for drinks. They've got houses, they've got cars, they must all be repossessed and liquidated. Full stop. Put them in those tents where the homeless people are in Joburg. I don't think anyone's going to feel sorry for them. All right. Anything else?
Well, you mentioned SAA, Gord, and it is, I mean, we know the terrible state that our national carrier is in. But earlier this week, the Ethiopian airline had so much to celebrate, because on Tuesday, they announced that the East African carrier has fully digitized its operations. They removed all paper from its entire system as it moves into the fourth industrial revolution. Along with the airline's paper trail, Ethiopian is progressively disposing of its biggest African counterpart, enter SAA, and the terrible state that our airline is in. But I mean, how is that for Ethiopian Airlines?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Everything is now digitized for them.
Yep. They are kicking everyone's
They are so
backside.
Far ahead as far as the continent
I
is concerned.
I thought you were going to say they've digitized everything and then say, like, there's no pilot. Because that is a future step.
Yeah, of course it is. But Mubs, you know why they're kicking ass? It's because they're trying to be an airline. They're not trying to pay some presidential concubine money every month.
Well, I mean, their latest annual reports for 2015 and 2016 showed that they made a profit of just over 4 billion rand. Now, if you compare that to SAA, in the same financial year, we made a loss of 1.5 billion rand. And then, of course, we got that nice little bailout last week, that 3 billion.
By the way, that 3 billion isn't going to operations within SAA. You know what that 3 billion was for?
Isn't it to pay off debt?
Yeah.
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 So it's not even going to... All those people who work for SAA, they're still going to be paid out of government guarantees. In other words, we're going deeper into debt. That $3 billion doesn't put them in a position where they cash.
I read a column in a paper that was lying on a table, because that's the only reason you'd read a paper. But I read a column that said they're going to be in the exact same position or worse in less than 6 months as a result of this.
Well, exactly. It's like
solves nothing.
But it's like if you've got a drug addiction, you say to your parents, look, mom, dad, I just need 10 grand to pay this guy.
Please, can I sell the TV?
And then it's cool. You know, a month later, you're not cool. You're still a drug addict. You've just got nowhere fending for yourself. You need another 10 grand. That's what SAA is.
What drugs are you buying that are 10 grand, dude?
So I got I'm using hypothetical numbers here.
All right, so a couple of messages quickly while we're talking about all these things, because people, I think people are just, they realize that SAA MUBS is a hopeless lost cause, and we're going to be paying for that forever. By the way, the money that we used to pay off that debt came out of the National Revenue Fund, which, if you listened to Justice Malala yesterday, was explained quite well. That's the fund, that's the account, the transmission account into which all our taxes get paid. So before any budgets or pluses and minuses have been thrown into the equation, all the tax money goes into this fund first. So Malusi's taken a withdrawal and he's gone out and drunk up all our money in the first day of the month.
It's basically
before anybody's been paid.
It's basically the airport that your money travels to when it leaves your house on its way to bullshit. It stops there. It
stops there and they're raiding that now. So, okay, here's something. It seems like Ben, this is from Kelly, seems like Ben wants to be hated or at least likes being unpopular and wears it as a badge of honor, like it makes him the badass underdog. I love you, big head. I know you aren't as mean as you pretend. Kelly.
The thing is, he's not trying to be a dick.
It's Kelly, that's, yeah, wow. Good morning to you too.
Ben's actually just nice and he's doing his best. You're such a dick, man. You must be doing it on purpose. Like, what?
Guys, is
Kelly, I was just telling you, this show is like a street fight. You come in here and you know it's going to be a battle. You think you trust these people, you don't.
Ben's the heel.
All right. Greg says, Ben's big head still in a bad space because no one likes him. If so, let's all rally and send him messages of support. His head is big, and if it's in a bad space, it's a huge bad space.
Just the record, a fair few people do like me. I don't need the approval of these people in the studio.
I
right
like
now.
You, man. Right.
Something happened over the course of this week, which we haven't discussed yet, and I'm sorry Jane isn't here early this morning because we would have brought her in. You know, Ben and Jane have this sort of love-hate relationship.
Mm. Yeah, and I love her, she hates me.
Yeah. And Jane...
sounds like a...
I'm down, Gordy.
Gordy, your station might need new shorts in a bit.
I have to leave. It sounds like...
All right. So Jane is busy doing her usual duties around the building, and she's busy sorting stuff out. And Ben writes on the studio rules list outside. It's not a hardcore rules list. It's like, don't bring food and drink into the studio and that kind of thing. And he writes at the bottom, don't argue with Jane, as a new rule.
Which I think, Ben, good looking out, because what you're doing is you are saving people from a lot of hell and fury and trouble.
Right. I've walked a tough road here. I'm here to help.
This woman will fight with you even when you don't want to fight.
You could walk up to Jane and say, good morning, Jane, and like that is enough to set her off.
Oh, yeah, it's on. It's on.
I mean, I've seen you pretty fierce sometimes, but you wouldn't take Jane on.
Oh, no. I am not an idiot.
She's from Limpopo, and she will get physical in your ass if you give it too much shit. She will take you down.
A three-headed boomslang would think twice before actually taking Jane.
So anyway, Ben writes, don't argue with Jane. So he goes off and does his thing for the rest of the day. Jane sees this eventually. She goes, who wrote this? She comes to me, who wrote this? So I said, I don't know. She goes, did you write this? I said, no. Why would I write next? I'd have a new list printed. You know me. I'm OCD. I wouldn't want to have pen at the bottom of the thing. She goes, okay. She goes around to everybody and she makes them write that line so that she can compare the handwriting to see who it was, because she's got a short list. Okay, so she didn't think it was Mabali. She thought it was either Ben or Sia or Simpiwe or Palesa.
Okay, she'd narrowed it down.
She had four suspects.
Oh, that's so good.
And then, in the meantime, what's happened is that someone has gone and scratched out Jane, and they've written Ben. Don't argue with Ben. So I think, is that Jane who did that? Would you know, Amanda?
Jane was here with me, and I wrote it.
Oh.
I'm sorry,
so
Ben.
Jane forced Amanda into this whole thing.
No, Jane didn't put pressure on me. The thing is, I was crossing it out. Then she started screaming at me, saying that I wrote that. Don't argue with Jane. I was scratching her name out.
So you were also a suspect.
She couldn't understand that I was taking her name off and writing
you
Ben.
You were proving
and she said
your
I did
allegiance.
It. I didn't do it, though.
Proving your allegiance to Jane.
Did she believe
Jane?
You?
no, and then, like, I said to her, Jane, you know, when Ben asks about this, please just say it's not us. And then she's like, no, but you wrote it. Then I'm like, I understand, but you don't have to say it was me. And then she's like, no, but you did it. So.
Yeah, well, in her book, there is no gray area. You're either wrong or you are right.
Yeah.
Like, with her or against her.
I phoned her just now to ask her, like, is she coming in early? Can we chat to her? And then she said to me, and then I said, how are you? And then she's like, is that what you're phoning me for? I'm like, no, I'm just being polite. Like, how are you? And then I was like, never mind.
Did she eventually find out it was Ben? And what were the repercussions? Because it's out now.
Well, we're in a bit of a stalemate because she didn't have Ben's handwriting sample, so she hasn't yet been able to compare it to what's written on the studio rules. If she has Ben's handwriting sample, then she can ascertain for sure that it was him, and then poor Ben is going to have a horrible week.
I mean, nobody understands the social dynamics here better than you, Gareth. So what do you see being the potential repercussions when Ben does get found out? What's going to happen? How's it going to play out?
She will... You see, Jane is by no means... She's fierce person. She's incendiary. She's easily made to fight. She's belligerent, but she actually isn't a horrible person. So she's doing it with her tongue firmly lodged in her cheek. So she loses.
That's like, what you think?
No, Ben.
You'd be on the receiving end of these.
I've seen her. She comes to me sometimes, and she goes, "There's someone sitting here who says they're here for you for an appointment. Do you have an appointment with them?" And I'll say to her, "No." And she'll go straight up to them and say, "You must go." you saw this, right? She'll say, "You must go now." And she will walk them. She will frog march them down the stairs and out of the building and watch them leave through the gate. She'll say, you don't have an appointment. You're not meant to be here. Get out.
Not even just let them chill on the yellow couch and have a coffee for a couple of minutes.
There's no socializing.
Look around, take a selfie, nothing.
Jane does not like that aspect of things. And when people socialize, she says they make a mess. So she doesn't want them making a mess because then it's her problem to clean it up. Anyway, this place, look, Ben will have, if she does discover that it was Ben who wrote it, which inevitably she will, then she will just pile onto him even more.
Even though Ben was trying to be helpful and stop anybody from having conflict with her.
Yes, she already thinks that Ben is a problem because she really likes Daniela and can't understand why Daniela would be with a guy like Ben.
I mean, that's a universal problem, but the thing that I love, the thing that's a conundrum, that and dark energy have yet to be solved, but I just love the fact that the audience think that Ben's gimmick is being a dick.
Inati says, "I think you're great, Ben. I'm pissing myself in traffic," says someone else. And then Vinny says, "I like Ben. He only acts like a douche when Gord is there. Gord is the one who brings out the asshole in Ben."
I do act like a douche. Well, look, I like Vinny. I respect his views.
It's just getting better and better.
So basically, it's you, Gord.
Yes, I'm the reason no one likes you. I can live with that.
All right, let's get into some more news. There's lots to talk about.
Well, have you heard about Patricia DeLille having a fire pool?
I've heard Patricia DeLille. Isn't she suspended at the moment?
She is, by her own party.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, she is, of course, the bringer of rain because she had a religious hike just before winter. Mm-hmm. Ironic timing, that. But some actual ANC members went to her house to go and find out about the security upgrades at her house. So she had some basic upgrades like cameras and a fence, electric fence, that kind of stuff. And apparently they arrived in a bucky and they were looking for a fire pool. They were hell-bent. And finding a fire pool.
Who are these people?
Yeah,
Led by Dula Omar.
What?
And a few other ANC people in that area. So this is the problem when the ANC or Kusati want to do anything in the Western Cape. There's about seven of them, of which they are the lowest of the low in these organizations. So when they want to go and picket and protest and do things, it's just such a funny story more than anything else.
Let me tell you, if you think Jane is scary, I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of Patricia DeLille.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon that woman could open up a can of whoop-ass on you without even batting an eyelid. Patricia DeLille, she was hardcore in her early days in the struggle. That woman could take you down, I'm telling you now. I mess with her.
Well, they are demanding that she pays back the money.
What? Because of the cameras and the fence?
Yeah, so apparently they believe, the Western Cape ANC delegation.
Yeah,
say what
on
you
a bucky.
In a bucky on a Thursday afternoon. They genuinely believe that she has abused state funding and she must pay back the money.
But...
Yeah, I don't know where you go next. Even if she
but we're still waiting for somebody else to pay back the money.
Oh, yeah, but that's different. Apparently she has misused 702,000 rand.
Well, as compared to what, 230 million or whatever it is for Nkandla. Let's go after the big fish first. Let's see where we can get the most money back. It's not from Patricia.
Well, look, Patricia's shaking in her boots because around as many as 10 people.
Wow.
Pick it to their house.
But imagine the ammo if they found like ridiculous
opulence.
Security upgrades. They're like 700,000 rand in completely indulgent security upgrades. Ha! Point fingers at us. Like, yeah, okay.
See, now, if these guys were smart, which again, I'm not going to say they're not because you can draw your own conclusions in life, but they shouldn't be seeing if she has a fire pool. They should be seeing if she has a cover over her pool, because then, being Cape Townian, you got to save the water, right?
You shouldn't be drilling your pool at all in Cape Town.
Well, exactly. So if there's a hose in her pool and there's no cover, they've got an issue against her.
You should be using it to water your plants and wash your car.
Well, you remember they found out that Helen Ziller had some kind of machine installed that took water out of the stream.
Mm.
And they said, oh, this is corruption.
Mm, 90,000 rands worth.
Yeah.
If you have a Helen bath 3 times a week, see, they're on a bucky, standing on the bucky, trying to look over the wall to try find a fire pool.
Wow, guys. That's so amateurish. Too much. Ooh,
but I mean, surely if it's within a reasonable proximity of your domicile, any pool theoretically is a fire pool. If you can get a siphon going and just spray water at your fire.
Now you just sound like an ex-police commissioner.
All right, guys, here's a very important question. This is from somebody who wants to remain anonymous. The phone lines and Skype lines are not working for me this morning. Can we check that, Amanda? I'm a week behind on shows. I wanted to know if the Friday Roof Hubbly will be happening today, because I have a question for Amanda. So are you ready to answer the question about Hubblies?
Sure.
Okay. I'm new to the Hubbly, thanks to you talking it up so much. The flavors with mint are amazing. How many rounds of Hub should I be getting from one pack of tobacco? So they obviously mean that they
come from one box.
Yeah, they come from those boxes that are the size of a cigarette box, right? How many rounds should you be getting? You should never fill the thing right to the top, right?
Don't fill it to the top. You could, and on one head, you can probably get like 2 coals. So you can probably have about like 5 heads from that packet of flavor.
All right. So in other words, 5 heads per packet of flavor. Each head,
which
2 coals. Which means kind of a long...
So you're getting 10, like smokes.
Rounds.
10 rounds out of one box, yeah.
Nice.
What does a box like that, sorry, Maz, what does a box like that cost, just out of interest?
Well, it can like cost from anything from like 25 rand to 34 rand.
Okay, and you get 10 bongs out of that. Nice.
Well, that's not 10 pulls.
No, 10, yeah. 10 stacks.
Yeah.
10 heads.
I have no idea what you. I have no idea what you are saying. Rounds, heads, stacks, pulls. I have never been this confused before in my life.
Speak to Mubs in terms of joints, and she'll have an understanding. Explain it to her as if it was joints, Amanda.
So honest, yeah.
Now let Amanda. She's the expert here.
I'm the hub expert. Okay, but when it comes to the joints and stuff, I don't normally touch that, so I can't really tell you. But it's better. No, I don't know what you want, basically.
I don't know what a round is.
Okay, so a head is. So basically, the head is where the flavor goes into, and then you put foil over that.
Let's describe the whole thing to my back.
So you've got the
bottle.
Yes.
Yeah, with the water in.
Then you got that pipe that blub 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 blubs through the water.
Yes.
Then that pipe goes all the way up, and then at the top you put the ceramic head,
okay,
which you put the flavor in.
Okay.
That's these boxes we're talking about.
Okay.
The tobacco stuff.
You cover that with tin foil.
Yes, and then you put the coal on top.
Put the coal on top, yeah.
So a round is what?
1 coal.
Okay. You see, I'm learning.
Other people, they like to use 1 coal and then change the hub, and then 1 coal and then change it again. So basically, you don't have to keep changing the flavor. You can use 1 flavor maybe 3 times if you're lucky.
So do you put the entire box in the head?
No.
No.
Only a little bit.
Okay.
Put the entire head in the box, let me tell you.
Stop it.
So
I like it.
You can. So some people are discarding perfectly good flavor because they believe that each new head deserves a new stack.
Yeah, it's silly though. It also depends if you're buying like a good quality flavor or a shitty quality flavor.
And I must just say, if Amanda says it, then it's true, because she shows terrific composure while making, smoking, and enjoying a hub.
Mm.
So is it Hubbly Friday again today?
No.
Are you guys not doing it today?
Well, actually, if you're going to hang around in the afternoon, a friend of mine who I was on the kibbutz with.
In Israel?
Yeah. Huh. We're going to go to the Syrian bar. I don't know if I should be smoking with my head injury. But I've got old photos from Israel, which we're going to look at and laugh at back when we were 18.
And you're going to the Syrian bar after meeting in Israel. That seems counterintuitive.
Well, he's from Secunda originally. I mean, it's not like he's indigenous from that area. Just it's a guy I met. We became friends.
I got to tell you, I saw the first episode of the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Good God, what a great show. It is the best show in the world. Larry David is a genius. Every single cent he got out of Seinfeld, he deserves and more. This guy is a comedy wizard. This episode, if you've got to see it, Season 9, Episode 1, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I watched it in bed on my laptop on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, one of the two.
Is it on Netflix?
I started laughing. I can't remember. I started laughing out loud in bed. It was hysterical. I'm not going to spoil any of the story for you, but this guy, the things he gets into, the problems that, the things that happen to him, and obviously it's an exaggerated portrayal of his real life, because he is actually this very awkward guy. He's very antisocial. He's just very strange. But the things that happen to him defy any explanation from me, and they're funny as all hell. And the best thing I've said about this show is that none of it is really scripted. So the actors are working. They know where the end game is. They know where they've got to get to. But everything in between, they make up on the spot. So it's improv. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. J.B. Smoove, Cheryl Hines.
I want to catch up on it because I've seen an episode here and an episode there, but never really like properly gotten regular with it. So if you start in the very beginning, does it still hold up well? Or would you say, okay, go back two or three seasons?
You can start now with episode one of season 9 and it'll be fine.
Okay.
It's good enough. God, it's great. I love it.
Interested
so
to
much.
Find out where it is, though, to watch it, like who's streaming it or what.
Yeah, I'll try to find out for you. Anyway, all right, so there's that question answered about the Hubbly. I like Ben. I think he gets a bad rap.
So many messages start with those words.
He's trying his best. He's almost as handsome and entertaining as Gord, easily in the top six of the Gareth Cliff show.
It's nice. As backhanded as John McEnroe in the 70s. But go ahead. Yeah.
Who's that from, Gareth?
Be nice to Ben. He had a rough morning yesterday. That's from Darren. Thanks for the smoke advice. That's from Norma. There we go. Some credit for Amanda. And Sean saying, Mabali does not seem to agree with you about the housing problem in Joburg. Be careful she does not lose it with you like yesterday. Have a good show.
Ooh, what happened yesterday?
I just dropped a few F-bombs.
At Gareth?
It wasn't at
No, she it wasn't was at anyone.
She was angry because Sia told a story about this friend of his. And I mean, I get annoyed by the same thing, so I understood it. This friend of his who was called in, I can't believe this, to a disciplinary hearing because she didn't smile at work.
Yo.
Can you imagine?
Yo. In history, has a man ever been called into a disciplinary hearing for that shit?
I don't know if this was a man or a woman, but it boggled my mind because I thought, you know what? Some of us have bad days sometimes, and you are not required by your place of employment to be smiley and happy all the time. That is not a requirement unless you're dealing with kids.
Unless you're a concierge.
Yeah, or that. But if you are working for some auditing firm, you can be as surly as you want. Just do your work.
Yeah, just get your maths right.
I don't understand how the complaint was even entertained. Mm. I mean, her colleagues went and filed this complaint that, well, she doesn't smile enough. HR should have been like, get the fuck out of my office and don't waste my time.
Right. Listen to Paris Jackson at the MTV VMAs. Right?
The ones that Katy Perry ruined.
Correct. Katy Perry's already ruined them. But let's just listen to Paris Jackson. This is Michael Jackson's daughter, all right? Here's what she had to say at the VMAs.
Yeah. Our impact? It would be huge.
While presenting Best Pop Video at the VMAs, Paris Jackson took a minute to call for unity in the midst of high racial tensions in America and took a little jab at the commander-in-chief. Paris Jackson knows she has a platform and uses it to her full advantage.
Now, let's just remember, Paris Jackson is talking about, and they say she's done a powerful political statement here. This is neither powerful. It is a political statement, but it's certainly not powerful. And Paris, who's Paris Jackson? I'm like, why are we being lectured by Michael Jackson's daughter? Who is she?
Well, Michael Jackson's.
Yeah, okay, alleged daughter.
Person raised for a while by Michael Jackson.
All right, so Paris Jackson's lecturing us all on politics, which is, everybody has the right to have their say on politics. But in this case, everything she says sounds to me like a question. Whenever she says any sentence, it sounds like it's a question. Do you know when people talk like that? They go, do you think that I am asking you something? Or is it in my tone of voice?
Or the American statement inflection question that's like, you're going to the shops? You're hungry right now? It's like, that's a statement. It's not a question. Just because you went squeaky at the end.
Australians try to do that as well.
All right, listen to Paris.
Paris Jackson is musical royalty hailing from the King of Pop, so it was only fitting that she presented the VMA.
I like the way they cover up for that. They say hailing from the King of Pop. You can't say he actually made her with his genitalia.
She's a Slavic child.
Pop video. Listen. But before she got to the nominees, she took the opportunity to speak on bigger issues like racism and took a little jab at the Donald.
If we were to all stand up united as one, our impact, it would be huge. Believe me, huge. And that's not fake news.
Now, anyone who is an MJ fan knows that the only thing that was as big as his star power was his humanitarianism and constant activism. So Paris definitely did her dad proud tonight when she told it like it is.
Oh, really? Is that what you think?
Yeah.
With your bed music playing in the background.
Can I just say that after listening to Paris, Ben looked like he sat on like a sharp object that went straight through his anus. That was the expression that you had on your face when you heard
Paris Jackson.
I just think we were destined for more as beings, humans, organisms with pulses. I think we're destined for more than
we
what
don't
the clip
have
just
moon
suggested.
Bases, and yet we've got Paris Jackson.
All right, hang on. There's more. Listen to this.
We must show these Nazi white supremacist jerks in Charlottesville and all over the country that as a nation with liberty as our slogan, we have zero tolerance for their violence, their hatred, and their discrimination.
Paris is never afraid to stay true to herself and what she believes in. And I say good for her for taking her time slot to speak up. Also, can we be friends?
Yeah, good for
her.
What
do you guys think about Paris' speech?
Hey, okay. All right, you get the basic idea.
Super stand up for that stuff when you've been raised as a squillionaire. famous for being almost the child of somebody
and
who
by
changed
the way,
races.
I mean, why is it even necessary to point out that you're anti-Nazi? Isn't that a given? Like, if you're a civilized person, you're anti. I mean, I'm always. I assume when I meet people that they're anti-Nazi. It's like
I can't agree with
it. It's like, you know, your default position is that you're not a flat earther.
Yeah, or a pedophile or a Nazi. Right. That makes you unusual.
So when I meet someone, I don't go,
what's your stance on Nazis?
There's a 50-50 chance they're a flat earther and a Nazi.
Well, Gareth, you know, I don't really agree with all of their ideology and their politics, but I know some good ones and I know some bad ones. No, I judge every Nazi.
This is such low-hanging fruit. This is at the virtue tree. When you go and pick this fruit and you say, I'm very anti-Nazi, I'm like, well, yes. That's what all smart people in the world are.
So it's like being anti-pollution. It's like, I'm pro-pollution. I'm pro-choice. I'm anti-gender discrimination. Yeah. I'm fully behind pollution, though. And I'm also pro-cancer. But for the most part, I'm quite liberal.
I really am very pro-cancer.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. And while I'm very much anti-certain things, I'm very pro-cancer. And when I hear someone has cancer, I give them a high five.
Yeah.
And I congratulate them on the honor of having cancer. See, that's insane.
And yet, actually, though, there are a whole bunch of like legit white supremacists out there who fully believe that Nazism was right and that it would have been much better if Hitler had won.
But they're a tiny lunatic fringe, and we must treat them as a lunatic fringe. The minute we start to consider these people as being mainstream, we legitimize them and their stupid ideas. They're loonies. They must be kept on the outside. For Paris Hilton, I keep calling it Paris Hilton, Paris Jackson.
It's really a similar kind of thing.
For Paris Jackson to be up there and to think it's a thing, for all these other people to think it's a thing for her to say that we must stand against Nazis. I mean, you know, really, Paris, actual people all over America whose grandparents didn't make it back from Europe because they were fighting the Nazis.
Yeah.
They don't go on a stage and talk about how they're anti-Nazi and imagine that that's some kind of statement of virtue.
And it's like, it's solved now. Like, oh, you know, I was going to like go to Charlottesville and totally join those Nazis, but then I watched the MTV thing and Paris
now
Jackson,
Paris convinced
she
me
said
not
I
to.
Should like totally not be a Nazi, so I'm going to do something else.
I was
going to
pick up my tiki torch and like,
you guys go
and
really a Nazi? Like this two issues here. Firstly, this hails from Michael Jackson's life, which was a fucking circus, let's be honest. So if we are looking too much
I think
into
he had
this,
an actual circus.
Yeah. This presenter who said, well, good on Paris Jackson for speaking out on this matter. No, you, delete your career. What are you doing? She is now, Gord's point is spot on. This statement is useless. But this person is going, well, isn't it great that she stands for this?
No. You see, this is the problem with Hollywood. First of all, they don't live in the real world. Secondly, we have given them too much power to the point where they think that every time they utter something, it matters. Mm. And it matters greatly. And there's also this pressure with celebrities where they feel like you have to be seen to be picking a side.
Yeah.
And you have to be vocal about which side that you pick.
It all comes back from that crap Twilight movie, if you're a team werewolf or team fucking crying pale guy. They've just taken that and they've strapped it onto any world issue.
I can just picture it in 100 years, like in history class, kids sitting around their hologram projector projecting a teacher and going, and then just before Elon Musk solved all of the world's problems along with Paris Jackson who ended racism, the world was looking like it was going down a dark path. But then it all was fine when Saint Elon and Saint Paris came and fixed pollution, space travel, and racism. Which
listen,
that's what they were.
Ben has like a story on Elon Musk.
It's got to be great being this guy, huh? So this week he has this great plan. Like, you know, he's sending rockets into space.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what we need.
Yes, it is.
Well, he's got this plan now. There'll be a passenger pod onto all these rockets. So if you think that flying from New York to London is going to be expensive, think again. Elon's got a plan.
Right.
So while this rocket goes to Mars, what's going to happen is that you'll be jettisoned off at a certain trajectory. So now this pod will then go beautifully from New York into London in like an hour.
Oh.
And because all the money's being
That'll
spent
be nice.
On the rocket anyway going up, this will be like petty cash on the side for this pod to happen. On what? Like, what is this guy smoke?
In that same history class, there'll be a montage of media outlets of people saying that he could never do it. And Ben's little soundbite will be there. Because Elon says he can do it, he can bloody do it.
But this is
and
the thing, though,
the reason we need to send people into space, as opposed to awesome robots, which we must do as well, is because when they did the whole moon mission, for the next 10 years, America's uptake of academic science, people wanting to study and work in the fields of science, was like, it exponentially increased. And as we started sending fewer and fewer people into space and not going to the moon anymore and all of that, kids no longer were inspired to want to be science. Now they want to be Paris Jackson. So sending heroes into space and bringing them back home safely with the occasional martyr actually makes people go and learn more science.
Cool, that's wonderful. And I agree with you, and it's a wonderful compliment to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Elon can say whatever he wants. He can pull a Paris Jackson at any stage and go,
and people think,
well, what we're going
to
do is...
But he has the right to, whereas Paris doesn't,
no,
because he invented electric cars and solar city.
He's pulling the purse. That's like saying, and for my next trick, after turning the wine into water, I'm now going to invent Pepsi from my toenail. And they're going to go like, oh,
but he will.
Elon, you've done
if
it
you
again.
Can, if you
you've
can.
Done it again.
Isn't, it's
but
not
this
a
is the
trick.
Thing,
he does it. He lands these rockets. He sends them into space at a tenth of the price of NASA and then lands them and uses them again.
We
what did
all
you
know,
do last year?
We all know you're Jack of Zuckerberg in a second. But But Gord,
what did you do,
Gord,
last year?
But Gord, we can indulge us to a point.
Let's just
yeah, no. We can indulge us to a point. I think he's taking it too far. It's like Paris Jackson was indulged to the point where, okay, we'll give you celebrity status despite the fact that you came from someone's ball sack.
You're,
that was
taking, you're taking it too far, Elon. But it's now, like the time we told Mahatma, you've done enough good, Mahatma. It's enough now.
I
it's getting
that racist out of it. Gord, we're talking about Elon because this is what happens when you're really rich and powerful and everyone laps everything up that you say. You
he's
start to
doing
lie.
The shit that he says he's going to do.
Both of you, I'm calling order on this. It's getting bizarre.
And what has he done?
Hold on.
Dude, what has he done?
Whoa! Did you hear that Harvey Weinstein, the famous Hollywood producer, is a major sex pest?
Of course he is, because people lap up, people overindulge him. Again, it goes back to my point. He's got lots of money.
Ben is going to use everything. Watch, if
people
I talk about,
don't overindulge
if I talk
Elon
about,
because he has lots of money.
If I talk about Pokemon, Ben's going to use it to strengthen his Elon Musk argument.
Pokemon's great. They indulge Elon Musk because he does amazing shit and then does more amazing shit.
But he takes it to the next level. It's
but
like
that's what we need.
But it's like if a homeless person comes to your house
Garrett's
and says,
looking at his watch.
No, Gord. If a homeless person comes into your house and they go, oh, my plight is really horrible. And you go, you know what? I care for you. Your plight, and then before you know it, he's sleeping with your wife and changing the TV channels.
That is the worst analogy ever. He's not. That is the worst analogy ever. How's he harming you by fixing the world, like by coming up with solutions
he's
to travel
a,
I
like
renewable
him.
Energy
in,
and
in the
space
battle of Musk versus Zuckerberg?
This is how you like people, Ben.
Musk.
This is how you like people, Ben. That's why these WhatsApps come in the way that they do.
But now you're just shouting over me because what you fell into. I have nothing against Elon Musk. I just feel he's pulling the purse to try hook up with better looking women, and he's going, well, guys, then the frogs are going to talk, and then we'll never have to have cashiers in supermarkets, and they'll go. Elon, you've done it again.
This is it, dude. You're
all right.
So,
he's against Elon Musk.
I'm not against Elon Musk.
Guys,
I think he's pulling the purse.
All right. I wish I hadn't brought this up.
Garrett's calling a timeout on us. Children, enough.
Mubs, anything you want to fill in before we go into Timo ODV for our guest this morning?
Wait, hang on. I need like another 4 minutes.
No.
Of Elon Musk.
No.
Okay, what is it, Ben?
I was just finishing off the news before Gord awakened my logic, which he thinks is stupidity.
Go, Mavs. What do you got?
No, just that, you know, you mentioned this Harvey Weinstein thing, and these charges that have been brought up against him are decades old, in fact, almost 2 decades old, by at least one woman who has cited recalled an incident that she suffered with Harvey Weinstein, which is where she, you know, says that he definitely sexually harassed her when back in the late 90s, 1997 and 1998. She is or was an actress at the time. Sorry, I'm just struggling to find the details here. I'm just kind of skimming through the story.
Anita Hill. She also involved, and he had so many journalists on his payroll, this guy. Because, look, we've heard about that horrendous Bill O'Reilly character from Fox News.
Wait, was he the one sleeping with all his colleagues?
Well, he was trying to, but he's so repulsive that no one would. And then there was Roger Ailes, who was the head of Fox News. He was the guy who came up with the idea of putting beautiful girls at the news desk. And God bless him for that, because it was a reason to watch Fox News. And for a while, until you get sick of the political rhetoric.
It was called Minger News before that.
and then you got over that very quickly. But he was clever. He was also a sex pest, apparently. He would basically say to the girls, oh, if you want to host the afternoon show on Fox News,
you've got to earn it.
Earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those two were outed as being sex pests, and they very much are on the Republican side. Now, Harvey Weinstein has helped fund Hillary and Obama, and he's been a major supporter of the Democrats. And it turns out he's a bit of a sex pest, too. Plus, do you know that, what's that guy's name, who was married to Huma Abedin? Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner, the congressman, who was in those sexed scandals.
Weinergate, I think they called it.
He's been sentenced to like 2 years in prison.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was going to ask what happened
to
all these people. What's happened to all the people, the Fox people you mentioned and the Bill O'Reilly? What's the consequence now?
Well, in the case of Anthony Weiner, what makes it particularly egregious is that he was talking to a 15-year-old, sexting a 15-year-old.
Oh.
So, you know, if she was legal, it might not have resulted in a prison sentence.
Damn. Did he know
Bill
that
O'Reilly's
she was
just a creep, so they can't send you to prison for being... Unfortunately, they can't send you to prison for just being a creep. They should,
yeah,
but they're not allowed to. You have to actually do something criminal.
Okay, but that's what you're saying, is he didn't do anything criminal. He was just
sleazy. Yeah, he would take these girls out to the bar and kind of say to them, well, if you want to be a contributor on my show, you know, we should date. And
you did that to me.
So
did I? Oh, shit.
Have a listen to this, because one of the women speaking about Harvey Weinstein is actually the actress Ashley Judd.
Oh.
You guys all know Ashley Judd,
yes,
right? So she cited in an interview that 2 decades ago, she was invited to a breakfast meeting by Harvey Weinstein. Instead, he had her sent up to his room where he appeared in a bathrobe and asked if he could give her a massage.
Have you seen what Harvey Weinstein looks like?
Gross.
This is what... Google image Harvey Weinstein and tell me if you would ever touch him with a health inspector.
No, I mean, look, I'm not one for judging people based on their appearance, but he does look like a ball bag with a beard.
In other words, like a ball bag.
Yes, but with a thicker, more matted gray beard. Not a bouffant, handsome, curly beard.
All right, it's time for us to wrap this thing up. By the way, if you haven't got Touch Base Pro doing your newsletter, and by the way, they don't just do that either. You can get a reminder to listen later on the cliffcentral.com newsletter. You can get interrupted while listening to a podcast, and you can get back to it when you want to later on. You can fill in the form, and you can get an email later. Whatever it is that you need, these are what we call smart newsletters. They are, you know, they're tailored to suit you. So if you're interested in, let's say you listen to the show that's coming on after this, Gas Comedy, what do they call it now? The Just Now Comedy Show. You can listen to that, and it won't send you stuff about, let's say, future CEOs. If you're interested in the leadership show, it'll send you info about that. In other words, it will make a bespoke email for you. And this is the brilliant work of TouchBase Pro. If you need to get something similar for your company or for your own internal communications, go to touchbasepro.com and click on Book a Demo. It is totally free. They'll give you a chance to try it out. And if you like it, you might just want to keep it. That's touchbasepro.com. Go and book a demo. It is free. Time for us to get into the unnews for this morning, and then we will see you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gord. Thank you, Mubs. Thank you very much to Ben. Thank you very much to Amanda. And most especially, thank you to you.
Thank you, Gareth. We don't thank you enough.
Oh, please.
For your contribution.
There's lots of very nice stuff rolling in about Ben. Still, plenty of people worried about you feeling left out and being maligned.
That's okay. I'm always all right.
I want to shout out Vanessa and the Biscuit before I go. Thanks, guys.
What on earth? What does that mean?
Those are people that listen to the show.
We're done. Thank you, Gord. What a stupid thing to say at the end of a really good week.
I'm bigging up my peeps.
You really? No. Shut up.
You do that on Facebook. Where is this? The 90s.
In fresh political news, it seems Patricia de Lille has a fire pool. Well, that's according to the Western Cape ANC members. They went to her house yesterday in a bucky to try and confirm this, but the wall was sadly too high. They did manage to catch a glimpse of her curtains in the lounge, though, and demands that she pays back the state for money spent on them. Nobody should be wasting state money on stuff from Joshua Dawes' 2003 walnut rain. Just when you thought the SAA crisis was a lost cause, turns out everything is A-OK now. Yes, it turns out the embattled airline has agreed to hire a turnaround team of experts that will put the company back on the straight and narrow. And they're only going to cost $7 billion a year in consultancy fees. Finally, one day to go until the Bucks play the All Blacks. Alistair Kitsia is really excited about this because Steve Hansen has promised that he can hang out with his team afterwards. After a tough season, he can't wait to be surrounded by excellence. All right, everybody, be good. Have an excellent weekend. CliffCentral.com on a Friday, action-packed, full of good stuff. The Casper Radio Show. We've got The Sex Show. We've got the Just Now Comedy Podcast. We've got No Borders. It's all happening today, so make sure you keep it on CliffCentral.com. Have a good day, and blah, blah, blah. We will see you next week. Another one. Another one. We the best music. This is CliffCentral.com.